This episode of An Abundance of Not is brought to you by Amazon.com. Amazon affiliated with us. We're very happy about it. Please go to anabundanceofnot.com, click on the Amazon banner, and do all your shopping as normal. Bookmark for ease of use. We appreciate it.
And TLDRGamer.com. When you don't have a whole lot of time to read the gaming news and just want the brief excerpts, visit TLDRGamer.com. for the core info. Thank you to them for the hosting and bandwidth for our podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome in to another episode of An Abundance of Not. Garrett here with Brad and Wade on this glorious May 21st.
Yay!
Yep. Wednesday.
I think it's glorious. It's always glorious, isn't it?
It glorious is when works. You spend your time with us.
Yeah, well, hey, there you go.
Ladies.
So, ladies. that's a little inappropriate. So, how's everything going?
Going good.
Yeah,
well,
do
it's
tell.
Going well.
It's going well. Please elaborate on your wellness.
Oh, I was correcting my grammatical error.
I understand
that.
It
is going well.
I understand that, but I want you to... tell us why.
Oh, it's not. I was being optimistic.
That is not very helpful, Bradley.
Is there snow now again?
No, there is not snow. No, it's just the project that I am on currently in Texas went horribly sideways, and so we're trying to do, you know, cleanup operations.
That's what happens when you do a job in Texas.
Well,
if you're in Texas and you're offended... good.
Will this Cat 5 cable work for an HDMI feed? No.
Can I just electrical tape VGA to DVI? That'll work, right?
Yeah, not a problem.
Little solder, little... yeah.
Not a problem at all.
Great. So, weekend, anything fun and exciting?
Weekend, not really fun or exciting. It was one of those, you know, yard work, housework, cleanup work, downtime, relaxing. Finally got warm. We were enjoying, you know, the yard. We did buy a new patio set. Oh, there you go. That was fun and interesting.
Get to cut through the slog to get to the fun part.
You got to let his brain catch up a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, you know, I'm a little slow. So we bought a new patio set, really nice one, fold down, comes with four chairs, the chairs store under the table in a little, you know, storage area.
The void that it makes?
Yeah, so it folds up nice and small because we don't have a big house or a big yard. So it's nice to have stuff that folds up compact. So we buy this, and, you know, everything nowadays comes flat packed, right?
Sure.
Assembly required.
Of course.
So we're not thinking anything of it. So purchase it. They tell us, oh yeah, continue doing your shopping, not a problem. We'll have it up at the front desk ready for you when you're ready to leave. So we go about our shopping. So we get ready to leave and walk up to the front. And wouldn't you know... if this is the first piece of furniture I have bought in goodness knows how long that came pre-assembled. Well, both my wife and I own Pontiac sedans. So now we've got to try and fit this giant table, chairs,
I thought the whole you had
nine
a Jeep.
Yards. No, I used to have a Jeep. I sold the Jeep.
We
both
I didn't
have
know you sold the Jeep.
Pontiac cars now.
Okay.
So... trying to fit it in, and it does not fit. Yeah. Which is, nice. You know, slightly embarrassing to have the loading guys out the front of the store looking at you, you know, really? You wanted to put it in there?
Yeah.
Like, shut up, guys. I didn't know it came, you know, in one piece. Yep. So, we, fortunately, our Home Depot... rents trucks. So we rented. We took this patio set home in a Ford F-250.
Hmm. Little overkill.
Little overkill, but hey, that's what they had, so we took it.
Nice. So you saved, save some money only to spend it on a rental truck to get it home.
Eh, you know, it actually wasn't that bad. They were fairly reasonable about their costs, so
yeah.
There were no complaints.
Cool.
It's how they get you. They're like, look, we're going to make these furnitures in big with gigantic pieces so that people who drive their Pontiac cars have to rent our gigantic trucks just to get the darn things home.
It's a conspiracy.
Yep, they got you.
It's always a conspiracy when money is involved.
So, yeah, that was my interesting weekend. What'd you guys do?
I did a whole lot of nothing. I talked last week about trying to save money to buy a house or contribute further to buying the house. So I am doing everything I can not to put myself in situations where I'm spending money to help out that cause. That being said, we did go out and see Godzilla, which we will talk about in the movie section. Aside from that, literally I did nothing all weekend. And it was nice. I mean, I didn't have anywhere I needed to be, didn't have stuff that needed to get done. I just was able to kind of lounge around and enjoy my time on my own, in a sense. Wade was working till 2, and our other roommate was house-sitting all weekend, so it was a nice little quiet deal at home.
Cool.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, fine, Forrest.
Yep.
What have you got, Wade? How was your, well, it wasn't really your weekend, but how was your time?
How was your weekend when you had it?
Yes.
Pretty much the same as the other one over here. You know, working hard to not do anything is the basic way to put it. I did get to, you know, put a lot of the time into the tail end of the WildStar beta. After I figured out how to play the game, very enjoyable, but I think I'll stay with WoW due that I have enough time invested in that one.
If WildStar were to come out as a non-subscription model and just a buy and free-to-play online, would you transition? Or would you still play WoW at almost $20 a month?
I think I would still play WoW, but have WildStar on the side.
Interesting.
If I just wanted a little break from WoW, I'd have that.
Hmm. Peculiar.
But, you know, worked hard to not do anything and then went and saw Godzilla, like previously stated. So
details to be announced.
This is true.
Yep.
But with that being said, I guess we'll just jump right into the movies. So coming out this week, we have X-Men Days of Future Past. This is one that just about everyone's looking forward to. It's got Hugh Jackman, Jennifer Lawrence, Patrick Stewart, you name it, is in it. Pretty well received by the critics as well, 94%. So that is definitely a good, solid rating there. We don't see a lot of 90s. Also coming out is the Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore movie Blended, which kind of looks to be him and his kid, her and her kid, and maybe a combination of the two at the end point. I don't really know. I'm not the biggest Adam Sandler fan.
Sounds like so, the starting of the Brady Bunch.
In a sense, it's kind of the vibe I was getting, but, you know, I could be totally off by that.
But that name was already copyrighted, so it's going to be called the Sandler Bunch.
The Sandler Bunch. Nope, it's going to be called Blended.
Blended. The Sandler Box? Did.
What?
I'm trying to sandbox?
Wade's doing like Sandlot, but Sandler Lot. Wait, no. We could go on for a long time with this. In the box office, Godzilla reigning supreme decimates this weekend at 93.2 million. It is worth noting that the critic rating has dropped. It was originally at 86. It's now down to 73. Neighbors took second at 25 million. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 at 16.8. And Million Dollar Arm with John Hamm at 10.5. We have no honorable mentions this week, as both Godzilla and Million Dollar Arm made it into the top four.
Isn't that amazing, considering that Godzilla was shot using iPhone 4s on a budget of $1,000 and the computer graphics were done on Commodore 64s?
Okay. I'm not really sure where you were going with that. A little homage to the original, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Is that essentially what the cameras spec'd out was back in those days? Was what you carry around on an iPhone 4 now?
Oh, I'm only guessing. It's just the original couple were infamous for being bad.
20 of them.
Yeah. So, no, they're infamous for being, you know, poorly dubbed and crappy graphics. So, no, I was just having a bit of fun. Carry on.
Okay.
Ignore the interruption.
Jeez, stop getting in my limelight. It's my time. So, with that, Wade, you want to give us your thoughts on Godzilla?
It was fun. I kind of really wanted to see more of the original come out. I mean, I don't want to say something without spoiling it, but people have probably seen it. The monster Godzilla.
I haven't.
Oh, God damn it.
So the general consensus is that the worst part about this movie was that you follow the primary character around a bit, who's U.S. Navy, but you've got to have a person in there for some of the audiences to relate to, so I get that. And a lot of fans of the Godzilla franchise wanted to see more Godzilla in the movie than what was shown.
It's the Transformers thing again, where people went to Transformers because they wanted to see Transformers, not Shia LaBeouf's character's love life.
That's a fair statement. I mean, I would say that it's similar to that. I mean, neither movie is bad, Transformers, Godzilla, but I think people were hoping for more of the monster as being the main character rather than kind of operating in the background.
Interesting. So what's the main premise then? Is it a love story?
No, let's see if I can give a gist of it. The main character, like I said, is U.S. Navy.
Just got back from a tour, I think.
Yeah, he just gets home from a tour, and his dad is arrested in Japan, so he has to leave his family. Well, in Japan, at the nuclear power station that his dad worked at and his mom died 15 years prior, is a giant egg that is not Godzilla. And it hatches and it wreaks havoc. And Godzilla eventually appears and there's a monster death match. Which is, you know, kind of what the original movies were.
Boss battle.
Yeah. But you spend a lot of time following around this guy and him trying to get home or him trying to help his dad out, who's played by Heisenberg of Breaking Bad. Is a little tidbit there. But aside from that, I mean, I guess that's the core gist of it all.
I was kind of disappointed, and when we got home, I looked up Godzilla movie monsters, because in the beginning we see a skeleton, and it's just this real long, almost snake-like, Garrett would probably say.
Yeah, it was a very long skeletal structure of almost seeming like infinite ribs. And the only animal that I'm aware of, and I think that really exists, that has any type of structure like that is a serpent, where the whole body is just bone. Wade was thinking it was maybe something like one of the Hydra-esque monsters that's in the original Godzilla.
His name was like Gaidan or something.
But I mean, giraffes have long necks, but they don't have rib bones in the neck. They just have large vertebrae. So,
Needless to say, I was kind of disappointed to see new monsters rather than having like a pick of the 25 Godzilla has fought in previous movies.
That's true. I mean, they could have brought, but I guess maybe they didn't want to pay tribute to a certain person or a certain monster from the past, so might as well just reboot it.
But, I mean, the ending, or the way Godzilla kills the monsters he's fighting is just great.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, spoiler alert, everybody. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it now. Godzilla wins. Are you shocked?
Oh, damn it.
No? Movie ruined? I didn't think so.
Ruined. Totally ruined.
Ruined. Totally ruined. Oh.
Totally ruined, man. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
I just, man. You know what? I'm done. I'm done.
I'm punching out for the night. So, no, it was really good. I really liked it. I would definitely recommend it. I would see it again.
It was a lot better than the first reboot, you can say that for sure.
It was definitely no Matthew Broderick pile of garbage, that's for sure. But with that said, next week we will be talking about X-Men Days of Future Past. We will be going to see that either Monday or Tuesday. So if you're looking for insights there, we will have commentary to follow suit.
Yay!
Yay. Yeah, that. And with that being said, let's jump into some news.
In a break from history's past, starting with the infamous Steve Jobs memo that he is going to start thermonuclear war against Google for their launch of Android, Apple and Google announced this week that they are putting down the guns and they're dismissing all current pending lawsuits between each other that are tied up in the court system right now.
Interesting.
They're tired, they've had enough, that's it, we're done.
What are they going after each other for?
Or were.
Were, yeah, so this is one of those sticky industry areas that needs some clarification from on high. The patent system that we currently work under in this country being the United States, has some interesting quirks to it. One of them is you can patent certain aspects of software. For instance, you know how on an iPhone, when you turn it on, it comes up with that little button on your screen and you have to slide it to the right to unlock your phone?
You're talking about like when it's in sleep and you want to activate it?
Yep.
Okay.
From lock screen to open?
Yep. So that slide to unlock feature is actually patented by Apple. Nobody else can use that.
Okay.
That is a unique Apple feature, and any other phone that features that has probably or was under the threat of being sued for violating a patent.
Interesting. Because my Samsung has that option, although it's not only this area. You can, if you have the swipe enabled, you can swipe it any direction, anywhere on the screen, which can get a little crazy because I've had the phone called the cops from my pocket before.
No way.
And have apps open up and whatnot, so that's scary.
Oops.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's stuff like that that has been patentable, and they've been suing each other over minor stuff like this. And some courts have thrown stuff out saying, you know, this is obvious stuff that anybody could have developed. No, we're not honoring it. But there have been enough stuff tied up in the courts. A person familiar with the litigation said that this announcement will end about 20 pending lawsuits.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep. So, this does not flow on. So, it's between Apple and Google directly, not Google licensees. So, the ongoing battles between Apple and Samsung are not included in this. Apple and Samsung are still at each other's throats.
Even if the issues that Apple has with Samsung is based on, say, the Android operating system, or is it anything that's like Google caused is no longer a factor?
That's not clear from what I've read. I'm guessing, and this is only a guess, that it's something that Samsung has done directly, not what they've inherited.
Gotcha.
But still, it's peculiar. It's fairly, yeah, considering Steve Jobs's statement of thermonuclear war. I mean, when they released the iPhone originally, they had been friends with Google. You know, the original iPhone had Google Maps and Google Search and Google everything.
YouTube app that came on the phone at launch.
On the phone, yep. And then when Google launched their Android platform, I mean, that ticked him off to no end. And that was when all of this went down. They sued them for whatever they could. You know, they began the process of removing all the Google stuff off the phone.
Yeah, which is funny because you could still get it through the App Store. You just had to make the choice to do so.
Correct. But there was no longer a partnership. You know, they were just another app in the App Store. It wasn't a partnership where they were featured.
Yep. Very, very interesting.
So it sounds like Apple's just tired of being World War II Germany, having to face a two-front battle. But one against Samsung and one against Google.
Well,
part of the other problem is in the lawsuits that have finally been settled, I may have my numbers incorrect, so don't quote me directly on numbers, but there have been an order of magnitude reduction in punitive awards. So Apple won the first suit against Samsung and was awarded a couple of $1 billion.
Okay.
And then Samsung won one against Apple and was awarded a few $1 million. And then Apple just won another one and it was awarded a couple $100,000.
Yeah, at some point it's no longer cost effective to keep suing.
Yeah, it seems to be that the knock-on effect is everybody's getting tired of dealing with their squabbling. And the awards are getting less, and it's getting to the point where, from a business perspective, you know, is it viable to keep suing them for, you know, if things keep going, we're going to spend $300 million on prosecuting Google for this and end up with an award of $30. You know, that doesn't make sense from a business standpoint.
Sounds like they're just trading money back and forth.
To a degree.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is mine, that's yours, this is yours, this is mine. But, yeah. Good.
You give to me, I'll give to you, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could almost look at it as a cost of advertising because now they're both in the news and they're both getting talked about and, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it's not a good way to be portrayed.
Nope.
From Apple's perspective, though, we jump out of one courtroom into another. Apple is being sued by the public, or at least one gal who is seeking class action status, in that when she and apparently a magnitude of other former iPad or iPhone owners who have switched to other devices are no longer getting text messages from their iPhone-using friends or associates. When people are sending the iMessage that's supposed to go through Apple's service and redirect to the phone number of the recipient, those messages aren't getting through. They're getting lost in the cloud, and people are claiming damages, essentially, from not being able to receive this content. Apple has posted that they're aware of the problem and have been aware of it for some time, yet they still have done nothing about it. Essentially, they are penalizing people from leaving Apple by not sending them the communications from other Apple users.
So this is an interesting one because it actually affects us directly. I don't know if you remember that.
No, we dealt with that a fair bit when I transitioned away from Apple and had to figure out what needed to be done.
And yep, because you couldn't get my messages anymore.
Yeah, we figured it out.
I'm not sure if I was the only one, but...
No, there was others too.
Yeah.
If it was sent with iMessage and you're no longer on an iPhone or using an iPad that can link to the iMessage service, those messages would not be transmitted. And even though Apple knows about it, is aware about it, they're seeming to not do anything They're trying to, more or less, whether it's deliberate or lack of caring, to punish no longer iPhone operators. And this is interesting to me that people have taken it and feel so strongly about this that they're so in the, that they have the right to now sue Apple because they're not getting the messages and this could be harmful to them, I guess. I don't know.
I didn't know I was supposed to pick up milk on the way home.
Yeah. Well, now your whole family's dead.
Yeah.
What?
I think the harm is in a loose legal sense, you know. But
we're talking about communication here. If I send a letter to you and it gets lost by the post office, I don't get to sue the government for losing my letter. And that's kind of what we're talking about here.
I hate to tell people something, but the phones were, there was a device, phones have an ability to do something before texting was invented. It's called calling them.
Yeah.
Why would I want to do that? I don't want to talk to them.
Yeah, I know it's a Marvel concept, but there's a way to still communicate with these people other than text.
Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. And I can see the annoyance factor in this, in that I wouldn't have near as much of a problem with it if there was some kind of indication that you didn't get my message.
Okay.
Right? So there's a certain expectation that when I send this message, you will receive it.
Sure.
And the fact that it is such a widespread problem. Again, if it was, text messages get dropped by the phone companies.
Yep.
But it's a ones and twos here and there. The fact that this is a ongoing problem, you know, it's not, I sent you a text message and you didn't, you know, I sent you 30 text messages and one of them didn't go through. Okay. You know, minor annoyance, but it's a defect in the system. But the fact that, you know, you and I were able to send 30 text messages to each other and none of them went through.
Correct.
Well, that's a problem.
I think there's a difference between one or two missed messages and the system doesn't work like you said it would.
But I think you said it correctly in that it's an annoyance. I don't see a legal right to fight this in my head. Now, obviously I'm not a lawyer and I don't know all the different ins and outs and loopholes that you could potentially fall into. Yeah, you could say I paid for a service that I'm not receiving, but as far as your provider is concerned, they're doing their job. But because you're using a third-party service, in this case the iMessage data system, transmission system, database, and that is blocking it. And again, in blocking, I don't know is necessarily the word, but now that you no longer have an iPhone, the system has nowhere to send these messages. So,
correct.
Could Apple fix it?
So when you use iMessage, you're not using standard text messaging.
Correct.
These are data. They're more like instant messages. You know, the old instant messaging?
Yep.
It's more along those lines. So your messages are being delivered to Apple and then not going anywhere.
That's correct.
Because Apple still thinks you have an iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, as far as they're concerned. So, that's... It's interesting, though. Like I said, I see the annoyance. I'm blown away that this has turned into a legal battle.
Well, everything has the potential to be a legal battle. It'll be interesting to see whether the judge allows it or throws it out.
Yep, agreed. I'll have to keep tabs on it and see what comes of it. Wade, over to you.
Okay. It seems that Google and YouTube, without having more money freed up from lawsuits or the lack of lawsuits from Apple, are putting that money somewhere else and are looking or putting in dealings with to purchase Twitch, the popular video game live streaming site. Now, this has kind of raised a bit of a problem with competition, is that both of these sites are, YouTube and Twitch, are in competition with each other for views, pretty much. You know, if you're going to be watching one, you're not going to be watching the other. So there's going to be a lot of looking into that, and YouTube, Google already has its lawyers ready for it. And it'd be interesting to see if the dealings going through YouTube is trying to buy Twitch for the sum of $1 billion. That's the B one, as always. And would...
Everything's in the billions now. Have you noticed that?
It's yep. scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, five years ago. What's that?
A million just ain't what it used to be.
I was going to say, 5 years ago, you never heard the B word.
Yeah.
And now it's every transaction we talk about is 3 million, 3 billion here, 12 billion there, 5 billion here.
AT&T is trying to buy DirecTV for $50 billion. There you go. Yep,
we talked about that a week or so ago. So many B words. It's inappropriate, then, really.
Anywho, if this transaction or deal does go through, some of us are kind of concerned about what will happen with each of the sites, therefore, of some of them, as Twitch has its own intricacies in its chat, and you're not able to go back and watch past live stream content as the live stream is still going on, yet you can do that on a YouTube live stream, but the chat is significantly worse on YouTube. And their Twitch's subscription model for paying a monthly sum to not have ads on that particular person's live stream channel has actually been called for on YouTube for quite some time, of the same effect, so the people don't have the ads on YouTube. So I think if this dealing does go through, I think the best thing to do is to leave both entities separate, but kind of cannibalize each other. Use the strengths of YouTube to strengthen Twitch, and use the strengths of Twitch to strengthen YouTube.
When you got to look at these companies for what they are, Twitch and YouTube, although they allow a service of internet content, YouTube being stored video content, Twitch being live streaming video content, the business aspect of both of those is still advertising. The way YouTube generates money and rewards its users with ads and whatnot to pay them and to also generate revenue, Twitch is doing the same thing. Now, Twitch allows you to have a subscription base to not be able to see ads and have a cleaner viewing experience that YouTube does not offer. But that's what these two companies are. They're marketing, they're advertising companies. So it's interesting this transaction is happening. And like Wade said, I mean, you're causing a monopoly now on the streaming video aspect, independent publisher arena.
Yeah, and this will be up for review before the Trade Commission, I'm certain of it. You know, we talked about this...
with the AT&T DirecTV thing?
With the AT&T DirecTV and with the Comcast Time Warner deals. The FTC really gets involved when you're going to decrease competition. And like you said, Wade, this is... Twitch and YouTube are pretty much the only two major players in the space. There are some smaller ones, but these are the only two major ones. So I imagine they're going to be looking really closely at this and, you know, how is this good for the consumers?
Agreed.
Yep. Inside the show notes, there is a video of a very popular YouTuber. He also does... he actually started doing live streams of StarCraft 2 professional matches He goes into great lengths on how all this is may affect both Twitch and YouTube, and it affects people who, like us, put videos on a YouTube as well. And so there's also a problem with people using copyrighted music in the live streams of their live streams. So they can't move videos over to YouTube, is that it will just get copyright flagged and taken down.
To my understanding, copyright flags on YouTube only prevent you from monetizing and having revenue from that. Doesn't mean you can't post it, it just means you can't generate revenue from it.
Coming from people who pretty much use both services, both sites, as their main revenue streams, that could be a potential
hazard. Well, but then you don't... You make sure you know what's copyright risks.
Yep, so...
A lot of these publishing companies post if they're okay with it or not. If you're going and either not doing your research, or you just don't care, or you're purposefully playing games on Twitch that you know would be blocked on YouTube, then that's clearly your problem. I have no sympathy for that.
So, like I said, there is a video explaining this. He goes into the intricacies far better than what I can. If you really are interested in the deals, like I said, the video is in the show notes. Look it up. It's actually very insightful.
Very good.
Sounds good. Continuing along that theme with competition and use of internet.
I want to stop us right there real quick. We've been doing some badass segues tonight.
I know.
It's just the way it worked out.
We had been until you screwed it up.
I know, but I was just in awe of how well it was going so far. I had to throw a kink into the works.
Yeah, you did. It has been going very nicely.
I want to stop our niceness and just completely destroy it. Showing you our niceness.
I want to point out how nice we've been doing to piss you off.
Alrighty. Moving on. Following up from our coverage last week of net neutrality, we were holding out for the Federal Communications Commission to announce their new rules on net neutrality. Due to the complexity of this issue, I am not going to go over net neutrality again. If you want more details, look at last week's episode. We covered it in detail, and also there are links in last week's show notes that go into really, really clear detail on what we're talking about here. So with that said, so the FCC announced last week that they are going to be, let me get the wording right here, it is a notice of proposed rulemaking. So they haven't announced, this is not a final ruling, this is not the rule yet, but they are giving notice that this is what they're planning on doing. And they have announced that they're going to be enacting some form of a thing that they like to call net neutrality. Okay. So... success. Yay, right?
Sure. I'm not liking except your confidence.
Not. Yeah, except not. So, they're calling it net neutrality, trying to, you know, fool everyone. A lot of the people on the commission right now are involved with the broadcast industry, or were involved. They have a vested interest in this. The biggest problem is, as part of the proposed rulemaking, they have announced an internet that they're going to propose, or they're going to allow, endorse an internet fast lane, which is exactly what we were afraid of, exactly what we were hoping wouldn't happen. Essentially, this means that internet service providers will be allowed to charge additional fees to content providers, such as us, to carry our information over and above what we're paying for internet, what our subscribers are paying for internet.
So they want a bigger piece of the pie. We're already paying, you know, you and I pay to have internet access.
Correct.
Our subscribers are paying to have internet access.
Correct.
So what this says is they are not allowed to block us. They can't outright block us. And they can't slow us down beyond commercially unreasonable practices. That's the exact wording. They banned commercially unreasonable practices, which is about as gray an area as you can get.
Yeah, define commercially acceptable practices.
Yeah, but one thing that is specific in there is, hey, if you want to get better access, slip us a little money under the table. We'll take care of you.
Yeah.
You know, using the terms that we have been talking about, this is about as far away as from what we have been talking about as you can possibly get. This is exactly what we were afraid of. So please, please get involved. Go to the FCC's website. There will be a link in the show notes. It is open for public comment until, let me find the date. I want to say it's in September.
Yesterday. Yeah.
So until September, you have an opportunity to respond to this. Please go to their website and do respond. Lodge your complaints that this is not what you want. This is not an open and free internet. We're not talking about free pricing. We all pay for our internet service and, you know, they're businesses. That is how it should be. But this whole double dipping of paying to connect us all as well is just, this is just wrong.
Well, and here's my question. We post content to YouTube, as do an infinite amount of other users. Is it then the user's job to pay these companies to distribute the media, or would it then be YouTube and therefore Google to make sure that their content is being distributed throughout the internet?
So the way that would work is Google, the owner of YouTube, would be the one that is responsible for paying for that interconnection. However, Google is a business. They're not going to pay for this out of the greatness of their heart. That cost is going to be passed on somehow. Either it's going to be passed on to the advertisers in the form of higher advertising costs, or it's going to be passed on to content creators such as us in the form of lower click-throughs, lower payouts for having ads on our videos.
Sure.
But that's on a YouTube site. While we do post our podcasts and everything to YouTube, we also have our own website where we have the raw files. Audio files where, yes, you can go and get it directly from us. If this became the final rules, then that could become a problem for us as we start to grow and get more subscribers and take up more bandwidth. You know, it's conceivable that in a few years' time, we could be getting, you know, notices from Comcast and Time Warner and Verizon going, hey, you know, it's kind of slow bringing your stuff along, isn't it? So, for a little extra money.
I would love to get one of those letters because I think it means we're doing something right. I mean, I'm not saying that's how the thing should be, but I'm saying if this is the way it's going and we got a letter, I'd be pretty okay with knowing that we have that much bandwidth. I'm not saying I'd necessarily pay it, but it would give me a little bit of an ego boost.
Absolutely. There would be an ego boost to it that we are that noticeable. I grant you that completely. But the problem becomes if I'm listening to two podcasts, and maybe podcasts are a bad example, but okay, let's say I go to Hulu and I go to Netflix, and Netflix has agreed to pay for the fast access, and Hulu has not. Right now, or under the previous open internet rules, the ISPs were required to carry both streams of data equivalently. So right. If there's a slowdown, it's at the provider's end. Right?
Equally.
Equally. So So I'm watching a Hulu video, and it gets kind of, you know, pixelated, and I'm not real happy with it, and I go to Netflix, and it's fine. Right now, we can work under the assumption that Hulu needs to add some more servers. Understood. The problem's at their end.
Yes.
Under these rules, Netflix has agreed to pay for this fast lane access, and Hulu decided not to. So when I start getting pixelated service, am I going to get annoyed with Comcast, or am I going to get annoyed with Hulu?
Yes.
Yes. I'm always annoyed with Comcast.
Exactly.
But I can't, because of the monopoly system that we have right now, which one can I blame and get rid of? I can blame Comcast, but I can't do anything about it because they have a monopoly. There's no viable alternative. I can blame Hulu, and I can cancel my subscription and move to Netflix.
Correct.
Now, granted, the services, I understand, are apples and oranges. One's TV, one's movies. I get that. They're not direct competitors. But they are both streaming video services, and that's what's important. They're both sending you data. And to request payment from them to do it better when, you know, Comcast isn't their service provider. That's not right.
Yes.
And it's going to be a business drain when subscribers start canceling their An Abundance of Not subscription because we can't afford to pay all the ISPs for bandwidth.
Yeah, you know, it's like you said, in Europe, I mean, they don't have this problem because they have so many companies that are competing for your business as a user just to connect to the internet. So they don't have to worry about all this because anything they do to limit your traffic, you'll just jump ship.
Exactly. You don't like your cable provider? Get a different one. And so we need these rules because of the monopoly system that has been set up by the government. The alternative is abolish the monopoly system. Make the cable, the actual physical cable, available to everyone and allow competing cable companies to start up.
Agreed.
You know, the places where Google Fiber has been allowed to come in, they have seen speeds go through the roof, they have seen prices plummet, and data caps disappear because there's real competition. You don't like your cable provider, you'll buy Google Fiber.
Yeah, exactly.
There have been amazing technological advances in those markets, and everywhere else there isn't. You know, it's released to us in dribble form because where's their incentive? They're getting their $100 from us every month regardless, whether they do a good job, a bad job, whether it's, you know, a gigabit per second or if it's 10 megabits. What are we going to do?
Yeah, we have.
There's no competition.
Correct.
No competition, therefore there's no incentive for them to continue to innovate, except in those markets that competitors have been allowed to enter. And in those places, the innovation is incredible.
So do you see a potential for there to be Apple ISP, Microsoft Internet, like you said, Google Fiber, these companies that have made a lot of money in their field that have the ability to reach out to more? Or is there still?
I think it would be a very good thing. I don't think it's going to happen. There have been no rumblings or rumors or chatter about either of the other two of the big three entering the market. Google's the only one in the market right now, and it's spreading very slowly because of the regulations in place that really lock the monopoly to the cable companies. And this isn't just a federal level thing with the FCC. There's lots of local, state, county, municipal laws on the books that prevent other people from physically laying cable. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. I mean, it's the only thing I can see happening here is if this does go through and these companies, these ISPs, do take advantage of this to the point that we, the user, are no longer getting content that we want, that people start getting political, start going after some of these laws in the books that don't do anybody any good except putting money in these monopoly holders' pockets, and do force the issue to get these laws revoked and competition into the market. But, I mean, that's not a, you know, 3-week endeavor. That's a something that'll take years to even potentially come to fruition.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's a scary, scary world. And like I always say, man, where's the money at? Who stands to make and who stands to lose money given the change? And if people who have money can make more of it, you know, that's the way it's going to go.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm not anti-business here. They have a right to run a business. They have a right to make money. I'm not saying they should do this for free and out of the goodness of their heart. But, you know, there needs to be competition.
That's the nature of capitalism.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm gonna kill our awesome segues here because I got nothing to transition from FCC into a Broadway on Ice show.
You could have done an entertainment segue of some kind.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And now we go from Netflix movies to real life entertainment.
It could slow down your internet to it's as slow as the ice.
When the internet service doesn't allow you to stream anymore, maybe you go out and see a real show. Here's one I can tell you about.
There you go.
There you go. See?
And be done.
See? It took me a minute. Frozen.
Goes wild.
Whee! Sorry. I do have an applause soundboard over here somewhere.
Please no.
Somewhere.
Wood's reaction is great. Please no.
And now we've gone from the illusion of an in-studio audience to everybody knowing it's a soundboard. Never mind. Right.
You think that news clip came out of my butt? Nope, it did not. But Disney's Frozen, I went in to mention this a few weeks back, but it didn't really come up. But Disney's Frozen is now coming to ice. I'm not sure.
How ironic.
I mean, most of the movie took place on ice. Why not just, you know, have an ice show? Well, they are, and it is scheduled to debut in September of this year. So if any people out there are a fan of seeing the live shows, I know that I have seen the How to Train Your Dragon live. I have not seen any of the other Disney movie to play adaptations, whether that be The Lion King or any of the other multitudes of options out there. I haven't had the opportunity yet. But I think these things are cool, and they definitely allow a different perspective. They allow different people to showcase their talents beyond the silver screen, and they can be a lot of fun. So I have seen a few legitimate Broadway shows, and I can say is that's the biggest thing I miss when visiting New York is the options for shows to go see.
It would be a lot better if they were skating. No?
They are skating. That's why it's on ice.
Well, you were saying you were missing the options from a Broadway show in New York.
Well, I've been to New York twice, and both times I've gotten to see a show. And we in Southern California, we only get a few shows that travel this way versus the ones that are
stationary
in New York that you can go see. I mean, Times Square is just loaded with playhouses and different shows you can go see at any time. We have to wait for them to come to the Pantages or the Honda Center or whatever. And because we're an hour or so out of LA, we don't always get fresh intel. So
that's heads what up.
What's up?
I said, so heads up.
That's right. I'm not sure. I didn't see, or I don't know if they specified when or exact dates on when it was coming out, but it is slated for September of this year. So it could be fun.
Awesome. Could be fun.
I know my daughter's already sick of the song, though. I guess just about every girl in her class wants to be Elsa for Halloween this year. And everyone's always running around singing the Let It Go song. And so she is just, she can't wait for something else to occupy the voices in her head, apparently.
Well, I know I wasn't on the way home today.
Okay.
Singing the Let It Go.
You have it here. Self-admitted people. Wade sings Let It Go while driving in the car.
I was happy. It's my Friday.
There you go.
Yeah, just let the rest of the week go. You're done. But anywho, once you're done watching that show and the providers have seen fit to restore your internet access to acceptable levels, you can get back to playing video games. Like, wow. And with their new boost to 90 they on for characters, a issue has been raised that people will not know how to play the class that they boost. So Blizzard has put up a bunch of videos for each class, probably getting soon to each spec of each class, of a crash course on a light way to how to play that particular class and spec. Now, some people are still saying that this still is not going to do enough. We're still going to have to deal with a ton of people who don't know how to play their class, and then our entertainment is going to have to suffer for it. And me, I've started in the beginning, or halfway through the middle of the second expansion, which is Burning Crusade, and I have to say, guys, get over this. If you have a problem with if people are playing their class poorly, take it up and teach them.
How does it affect you if someone's playing their class poorly?
Most of the accesses or adventures require very much on synergy and people performing at a particular level to complete.
Okay, isn't that kind of the point of having a guild or something, or a group of people you play with that you know how they play and you play with regularly? I mean,
there are people who do play guilds and they're with guilds, and there are people who play solely. And there is the looking for dungeon and looking for raid tools, which groups you up with just random people from multiple different servers.
Okay.
So, but my thought is, if you are annoyed that you're going to have to deal with terrible people who don't know how to play their class or spec, take it upon yourself to teach them. Don't be rude about it. But I do remember there's a board on a school I drive by to pick up my niece, Garrett, your daughter, obviously. And one of the statements on there was, we have to be the change we want to see in the world. So if you're tired of dealing with poor people, or not poor people, terrible people, make the change to try to teach them how to be better. Is my just thought on this. I mean, it's nice that Blizzard is actually seeing this and trying to take a step in the right direction, trying to teach people, look, this is what you, a starting introduction on how you can do it, and this is how you can look into further knowing how to use your class and spec that you've bumped up. But without going into very deep intricacies of your role, class, spec, you really don't know how to play.
Well, let's be real. Blizzard isn't doing this just to be nice to its players. Blizzard is doing this because they run the risk of people who don't know what they're doing getting either they rage quit because of people getting on their case, or people that have been playing not playing anymore because the people they're forced to play with don't know what they're doing. So Blizzard is clearly doing this for self-interest and making sure their subscribers stay subscribers and don't jump ship to something like WildStar or alternate games.
This is a very good possibility as well.
And Brad died.
I didn't die. I just... It sounds like there are certain players that just take this way too seriously. Come on, it's a game.
Well, there's
it's a game they're paying $17 a month to play.
I understand that. But there are different levels of players as well. You know, there are people that are prepared to pay that. that want to get very serious and learn everything they can and, you know, be the best they can. And there are some people that, you know, it's just a fun game and I'm going to do this every once in a while just for some stress relief and some fun, and I really don't care to know how to do it perfectly.
And I don't disagree.
I'm just going to have fun. So, you know, I definitely see your point and weight, and I think the community, you know, if you want to see a player play better and they're open to it, you know, the community should help each other out and teach each other. But there are some people that just really want to just relax and have fun with it, not take it as a serious, you know, alternate life.
I understand that. I'm in the same, well, I'm right in the middle of those two groups that you were referencing, but I'm just tired of hearing people complain and, we can't use that word on this podcast.
Pitch a fit?
That's a better alternative. About having to deal with poor players, but they don't want to help them out. And
do anything about it.
Yeah, they don't want to be a part of the solution. They just want to point out the problem.
Exactly.
Most people in a business environment will tell you that if you want to go up in the world, you don't bring your manager a problem, you bring them a solution.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good motto for life. Don't sit and complain about something. Find a way to make it better and then act on it.
I'm just tired of hearing people complain about having to deal with poor players when they're not going to do anything.
So here's my challenge to you. You're complaining about people complaining.
How can
you make it better?
I have given a solution, and I try to help players in the game.
Okay, fantastic.
So I am awesome. Trying to be part of the solution.
Fantastic.
Voila.
Well, nice. We're right at that hour mark, which I think is perfect. So I think we've all run through a couple topics here, some of us a little more long-winded than others, which is fine. It's what we do.
It's always mine.
It's always the case. It's fine. It's educational, and I appreciate it. Upcoming, like we mentioned earlier, we will be seeing X-Men this coming week, so we'll have fresh commentary for you there. Wade has wrapped up the Wildstar beta for his channel. I'm sure content will continue to post.
Yep.
And you're still working on a reviews video or a feelings,
my
likes,
thoughts,
dislikes, whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
We do have E3 next month, early next month, so that's going to be fun.
Okay. Brad, anything on your horizon between now and next Wednesday?
Now and next Wednesday? No, but definitely keep it locked here for E3 coverage when that comes up, and also our sister network over at TLDR Gamer for E3 coverage.
Our good buddies over
them.
There.
You know, the other part.
Yep, keep on gaming, guys.
All right, we're out.
That's a wrap.
We here at Abundance of Not do appreciate you listening in and would also appreciate you sharing us with your friends via the Stitcher Radio app and also iTunes. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and join us at Facebook. Thank you.